Today I want to talk about, and this is the topic, hope for 2016. 2016 is arriving soon. The next time I talk on Sunday, it will be 2016. It's a time to look ahead, with hope. While time and days are going to arrive, whether we agree with them or not, the quality of the time and the quality of the days are really up to each of us. We get to create 2016 any way we want. Life is about self-expression and creating. If I'm using the metaphor of a play, of a stage, of a performance, 2016 is the stage that we stand on to act out the play of our lives in this next phase. This one year, 2016, is the next act of our play. Typically, professionally produced plays have segments such as Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, and so on. So we could call 2016 our next act, Act 2016. Or another way to look at it, you could call it Act X, in which X is your age. We could look at it like that. But the labeling of the act is less important than the fact that we are the playwright, we're the director, we're the producer, we're the star of the play, and we're the stage manager of the play. If we understand this reality, then any kind of victimhood or ideas that, I have to do what I have to do, and I don't really have a choice, and, there's nothing I could do about it, etc. We realize that's not true at all. None of that is true. They're not valid. We have tremendous control, tremendous responsibility, and tremendous rights in the design and the performance of the play. We can see, too, that Act 2016 is not isolated from the previous acts in the play. Act 2016 builds upon, it improves, it adjusts, it corrects, and it turns any pain and grief that we've experienced, anything we've learned in 2015 or the earlier years, into value. It is up to us. Everyone on the planet experienced grief in 2015. They also experienced happiness, joy, hope, anger, frustration, etc., etc. All human emotions showed up in 2015, and they're going to show up again in 2016. But as the writers, as the creators, as the directors, and as the star, the scripts and the text that we use in 2016 is up to us. Just before Act 2016 begins, we have the opportunity to write the theme and the plot. There are a lot of different activities that are going to occur in 2016, for sure. You know, a lot of people are going to start 2016 with, I'll say, drunken revelry, and they're going to wake up with hangovers. Well, that's one way to start the year. Seems to me there could be better ways to do it. But the theme that I want to weave into this year is hope. This is the time for us to extract all the values that we have been given, not just in 2015, but in preceding years. We've gathered all these, we've extracted all the value, we've taken the lessons, we now know what we've learned, and maybe what we still have to learn, and then we can write them into our play. We can write them into the actions that we know are already going to occur. You can look at the calendar year 2016, and you know there are certain days that are going to occur, right? January 1st is going to occur. So is St. Valentine's Day. So are the June 21st, the longest day of the year. So are birthdays. So are work commitments. So are vacation travel commitments. So are graduations, and so on and on and on. These things, we already know. We already know they're going to occur. About a year from now, Christmas is going to occur again. We can start planning for it immediately. We don't have to wait till the 24th of December, unless you're a man, then you, of course, that's maybe standard behavior. But you can start planning for that. It's like, oh yeah, yeah. How do you want to interpret that? How do you want to feel about this activity that is going to occur? There's no real surprise. We can start writing that script right now. In 2016, there are going to be work events. There are going to be family events, travel events, new friendships. Old friendships are going to come to the end due to death, maybe people moving away. All kinds of experiences are going to occur. How are we going to react? We don't have to wait for the event to occur to determine, oh, I think I'll react this way now. We can do, like Abraham would say, Abraham Hicks, segment intending. I want to act with hope. I want to act with kindness. I want to act with peace and patience and love. You set that intention way in advance, and you can write it into your play. And when the event pops up, you've already chosen how you're going to act as the star of the show, of your show. As we sit down to create images of 2016, before we actually experience 2016, we need to know the tools that we're going to use and the tools we don't want to use. Our thinking, feeling, speaking, acting will create our 2016, for better or worse. And what thoughts are we going to think? What feelings are we going to feel? What words are we going to speak? And what actions are we going to take? We can decide right now the theme of that. We can decide right now what emotional state we want to adopt in any and every situation. We can shroud ourselves, we can dress ourselves in the energy of kindness way in advance of any event. It can be premeditated like that. We can just set our intention. We know we're going to put our attention on things. So, yes, that's true. So we can show up with a given intention. We don't want 2016 to just happen. Some people think life just happens to them. I think I'm just going to wait and see what happens. I think I'm just going to see what life presents me. That doesn't work for me. That's not the point of view I have. I think we're going to be much better off if we take responsibility for creating it. We create it in forms that, what, will advance us on our journey of consciousness. We want to advance ourselves, and we want to help other people advance. If we know that, it's like, oh yeah, yeah. The journey's not coming to me. I'm on the journey. I think you are as well. We want to dress ourselves, our minds, and our hearts in a variety of energy patterns. Hope for 2016 is one of them. What's nice about hope, it seems to open the doors to all kinds of possibilities, as compared to negativity or doubt or something, which means the doors are smaller or don't exist, or maybe they're closed. Hope opens the doors. And hope can dispel the I'll say the clouds that might otherwise obscure the light that would be available to us. That light helps us travel safely, wisely, lovingly, happily in our interactions with other people, from day to day, from minute to minute, from hour to hour. Being in hope makes us much more open, much more receptive, much more capable of receiving awareness about how to deal with people, including ourselves, lovingly, generously, kindly, patiently. Depending on how many acts there have been in our lives, those acts being years, if we want to look at it in that context, how much awareness have we received? That's another way of looking at it, you know. 2016 really represents our next best opportunity to become aware of and to use all the gifts that we have previously received. Maybe just by virtue of being born, we came with certain talents, certain proclivities, certain awarenesses, certain intelligences. And then, in our learning process over the years, we've refined some, let the others go, and here we are, about to step into, or onto, the stage of 2016, and we're going to perform. Perform effectively, we hope. We have hope for 2016. If you had a teacher like I did, someone who modeled love and generosity and kindness, not only to me or to you, but to other people, 2016 is where we can apply what we have learned from them. If you had a mother or a grandmother or a friend or a teacher or a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a pal or a boss or a co-worker or some historical figure like a Gandhi or a Jesus, 2016 is our time to apply what we have learned from them. It doesn't make sense to me for us to be educated and developed to become more aware and then refuse to share, refuse to use what we have been given. If we have received a gift, that gift is not for us alone. That seems silly to me. The gift we receive is like, oh, yeah. I'm going to translate it uniquely, and I'm going to pass it on. I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to share it. I'm going to give it. I'm going to use it for the betterment, not only of myself, but for others. That makes sense to me. My main teacher for the last 17 and a half years has been my wife, Marianne. She taught more than I was able to learn. She offered more than I was able to absorb. She was remarkable. But now, I have to rely on the images of her doing this, of her being this, of her having this. I can focus on those essences, those images, those energy patterns that she demonstrated for me and for others, and to make that part of my consciousness in 2016. The reason being, I was given all these gifts. When you're in the presence of an angel for 17 and a half years, you need to become elevated. And despite any efforts, to some degree, I have. But resistance, of course, is what holds us back. Our fears, our fear of being vulnerable, holds us back. But in 2016, The goal is to make the gifts that I've seen so abundantly demonstrated and distributed part of my own consciousness, so I can live and act with love just like she did. Marianne knew and lived as if energy enough, there was energy enough to be, do, and have anything. There was no limit to energy as far as Marianne was concerned. She didn't have a belief in not enoughness like I did. I used to, do I have enough time? Do I have enough energy? She never had that question, either one of those questions in her own mind. By the time I formulated that question in my mind, she had already accomplished what I was questioning. Simply because she didn't have that limitation. She was right, and I was mistaken. The belief in not enoughness was erroneous. There is enough. There's enough time. There's enough energy. And now I have the hope that I can learn to live the way Marianne lived, with that same belief. There's enough. There's always enough time to be loving to someone else. There's always enough time and energy to improve a situation. That's pretty impressive. To be able to bring that into one's consciousness is wonderful. I talk a lot about consciousness. I do. And a lot of my talk sounds like consciousness is a mental energy. I think I may be wrong about that viewpoint. I now believe it is first and foremost a loving power. Consciousness is a loving power. This loving power is creative and it's intelligent. It knows what's needed in order to create loving circumstances. That's what it's doing. It's not hypothetical. It's not about thinking. It's about drawing in the energy to make something that's fragmented whole. It's about bringing in the energy to make something that's ill well. It's about bringing in this energy that whatever feels alone is connected. Marianne was a creative, loving, intelligent power. A creative, loving, intelligent power. She thought, felt, spoke, and acted that role. She didn't spend a lot of time talking about it. She was busy being it, doing it, and having it, and sharing that with other people. And the images that she provided to me on a daily basis, every single day for 17 and a half years, are like seeds. They were seeds. These images have energy. They have a vitality. They are like seeds that now are planted in my consciousness. That's been the process the whole time, all 17 and a half years. These seeds of love and caring and nurturing have been planted in my consciousness. And 2016, the time for them to grow and to manifest. The more I embrace the gifts that I've been given, and I wasn't the only one, of course, Marianne had so much love, it became very clear to me very early in our relationship that this woman has so much to give. I'm like a little container, and I would be overflowed in a matter of minutes or hours. And in fact, she has got so much love that a lot of people are going to be the recipients of that. And I was okay with that. I thought that was the right thing to do. Not only for her, You know, to have an amazing source of energy, delivering energy to one single person, that was unworkable. And she distributed it to a lot of people. She did that throughout her whole life. She's famous for it in IBM in her 30 years there. And she's famous for it in these last 17 and a half years. As I embrace those gifts and I work to bring them into manifestation just like she did her entire life, I will be honoring not only Marianne, but I will be honoring myself. I will be honoring divine consciousness. Just think, if we're not here to take in divine consciousness, allow it to work for us, in us, and through us, why are we here? There can't be any better reason than that. Everyone is a teacher. Everyone is a teacher. And as a teacher, most of us know the joy of dealing with a student who really gets it. You know, they get what we're saying. They get what we're teaching. They get what we're modeling. My teacher has left the building. So it's time, in 2016, for the student to apply what he has been given. I have a lot of hope for 2016 in this regard. In my 2016, when I look at it over the course of the 12 months, I have business ideas that need to be energized and implemented. I have work responsibilities that need to be fulfilled. I have travel plans that need finalization. I have decisions to make that previously Marianne made those so excellently. Now they're mine to make. One of the million or so things I like about the information in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth is Christ's advice to reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and ask for enlightenment. I've never really met divine consciousness as divine consciousness, but I certainly have met an individualized form of divine consciousness, Marianne. And I'm thrilled at that. I'm thrilled at that. That is the most amazing gift. Last week, my daughter Lisa was meeting with some friends she knew from her military career, and she was describing Marianne. And the woman, after listening to Lisa's description, said, "She sounds like love incarnate. Love incarnate." When Lisa told me later that evening about that conversation, I said, "That's it. That's really it. That's true. Marianne was love incarnate." And those of us who had the joy of knowing her, or hearing her, or meeting her, or, like me, living with her and being married to her, that is unbelievably wonderful. Talk about being blessed. Wow. In Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth, Christ uses a lot of ways to describe certain things. In particular, he uses different ways of describing Father God energy and Mother God energy. And he uses this. Loving intelligence is Mother God energy. Intelligent love is Father God energy. It's so clear to me that those terms describe Marianne perfectly. I watched it. I saw it. I heard it. I benefited from it. No doubt at the end of 2015, just before 2016 gets here, many people may be looking at 2016 with hearts and minds filled with fear. Not me. Not me, for two reasons. Number one, the worst possible thing has already happened. Now that the worst possible thing has already happened, what can happen? Whatever it is, it's not going to be as bad as what I just went through. Nothing could be worse. No loss compares to the loss of Marianne. It's interesting because that changes perception of death. It's like, not that I was afraid of it before. I thought death is basically what we label the beginning of a journey and the end of the previous journey. I like travel. So death always seemed like a really exciting event. Now, nobody is interested in suffering and pain, and I am not either. But now that the worst has happened, like, okay, now what? That fear is long gone. And the second point is, my angel has created an environment, both physical and financial, that eliminates any basis of worry. She cared for me so completely. I have a stage that is stable, that I can grow. If I were a plant, I have the most wonderfully prepared soil and environment in which to grow and to bear fruit for the benefit of others. All created by this remarkable woman. Act 2016 needs a theme for me. I think everybody needs a theme. We know some of the plot. We know those events, those things that we're going to attend to. But we need a theme. Overall, the theme for me has got to be giving. And giving, that takes many forms. We gave lots of money to some causes that we found to be excellent deliverers of value to the people in need. Not the big organizations where the executive directors were making millions. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Those are essentially scams, in my opinion. Marianne was more charitable, but that's how I see those things. Those causes are designed to reward the people who are collecting the money, not the people that they say are going to be the recipients of the money. But Smile Train and Miracles in Action, as well as Echo and a few others that we're familiar with, you know, animal rescue places, we know the recipients are getting the benefit of the donation. But money is just one way of giving. Marianne gave a lot of time and gave a lot of energy to people. She showed up wherever she went. This is interesting. She showed up. She was present. When you're present and you establish a relationship with haircutters and manicurists and grocery store clerks and retail clerks and bank clerks and anybody and everybody and waiters and bartenders and business owners and restaurateurs, and she showed up and gave energy to those people. She didn't just show up to get. She didn't just show up to be served. She didn't just show up to be waited on. She showed up to give. And I learned that lesson by being involved with her when we would go into these various environments. It was fantastic to develop relationships with people heretofore, strangers, heretofore, in a lot of cases, non-people to the people who they were serving, and to be able to be present for them and give energy to them and validate them and love them and respect them and to success, to accept them as equally important. Maybe that's the most valuable of all giving. when you can be validating to another person. Your existence is valuable to me. Or maybe it's just even a shorter sentence than that. Your existence is valuable. To be able to transmit that message to another person in a public setting, that's an example of giving. In a conversation I had yesterday with a woman on the telephone, she said she didn't know what caused Marianne to take a liking to her and to show her such kindness. But that's exactly what Marianne gave. Love, kindness, respect, energy, acceptance. She didn't need to see you. She didn't need to meet you to do that. She would use whatever means, whether it was writing a note or making a phone call or bumping into you on a physical basis out when she was doing things. In my 2016, showing up spiritually, emotionally, and physically has to be worked on. Showing up mentally, if that's even possible, has been largely self-protective, maybe even fear-based strategy. It won't work if I really want to be giving. I have to show up and be present the other ways. I've been acquiring energy for a long time. I buy books, I watch videos, I take courses, I'm taking in energy. And I had the most fantastic teacher. I seek to gain mental understanding of this and what makes this tick and how this works and so on. A lot of my efforts up to this point have been to eliminate risk, to eliminate uncertainty. If I can know absolutely everything, there'll be no risk. The risk of being sad or having pain or being embarrassed won't exist. That was my goal. It's unworkable. That trying to eliminate risk and uncertainty will make life a failure. So 2016 is the time for me to be courageous enough to risk, to accept uncertainty. I mean, who knows what's going to happen the day after tomorrow? Who knew what was going to happen on December 3rd, 2015 when Marianne died? Not me. Maybe she did. I didn't. So there's a lot of uncertainty. So the sooner we stop trying to protect ourselves from it, and I'm speaking about my own need to stop protecting myself, you'll have to make your own decisions about your needs with regard to risk and uncertainty. But it exists. So instead of fighting it and trying to run away from it or to do everything possible to minimize it, like, you know what? I've decided what I really need to do is give my energy as much as I can, as vigorously as I can, as completely as I can, as frequently as I can, so I can create in manifested form the images of love and value that I've already acquired. I have it. I don't need to know much more. I don't need to know much more. I've seen love. I have to take another class. I need to buy another book. I need to watch another video or listen to another audio. I don't think so. I need to risk doing it, being loving, being giving, sharing energy, showing up. 2016, in a single sentence, is a year in which I hope to be like Marianne, do like Marianne, and have like Marianne. And if I can emulate what I saw her demonstrate, if I can grow the gifts that she has given me, I know I have a lot of hope for 2016. And a lot of people can also have hope for 2016. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is a pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. I've modified it to include Marianne. I normally have it in front of me, but it's in another room. Father, Mother, Life, and Marianne, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us again and again and again and again. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives and our beingness, doingness, and havingness into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.